We're continuing with our series refuting Trenthorn and his air-filled response to my debate. Definitely see our previous videos on Trenthorn if you have not already seen them. In this video, we will refute his false claims about the throne of King David and perpetual succession. In the recent State of Acantism debate, I said that in various passages of the Old Testament, God promised that the throne of King David would have perpetual successors. For example, in Jeremiah 33:17, God promised through Jeremiah that King David shall never lack a man from his family to sit upon his throne. Yet shortly after that prophecy was made, God left the throne of King David vacant for over 500 years until Jesus himself came and sat upon the throne, continuing the succession. Since God promised that King David's throne would be perpetual and would have perpetual successors, but left it vacant as part of a punishment for over 500 years until Christ came, that proves that a long vacancy of the throne of St. Peter is perfectly compatible with the Catholic Church's teaching at Vatican I concerning the papacy's perpetuity and perpetual successors. The argument is definitive and irrefutable, and it's supported by various passages of the Old Testament, not just Jeremiah 33. We expand upon it in our video, Did the Bible Predict 70 Years Without a Pope? Please watch that video. In response to what I said on this matter in the debate, Trenthorn argued that the promise I mentioned about the throne of David is actually conditional. Here's his argument.
The teachings that the church will always have a visible existence are not like the passage in Jeremiah 33:17, which is a conditional prophecy. It's not an absolute promise. To see why, note that verse 17 says, "For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel." But the next verse says, "And the Levitical priests shall never lack a man in my presence to offer burnt offerings, to burn cereal offerings, and to make sacrifices forever." Even if we interpret Christ as our new Levitical priest, Christ does not offer burnt or cereal offerings for us. He offers himself on the cross instead. This shows that these prophecies in Jeremiah were limited in their scope. They can't be used to justify the claim that God will allow the office of St. Peter to be empty for decades or even centuries.
Trenthorn is wrong again, as we will see. He first brings up a straw man, thus misrepresenting our position, which is typical of heretics, when he implies that we deny the visible existence of the Church. No, we affirm the Church's visibility. You are listening to a visible member of the Catholic Church in our day. In fact, it is the Vatican II sect to which Trenthorn belongs that denies the visibility and unity of the Catholic Church. In number one of Vatican II's heretical decree on ecumenism, it states, quote, "Almost all, however, though in different ways, long for the one visible Church of God," end quote. According to Vatican II, the one visible Church of God does not yet exist until unity is achieved with non-Catholics. In fact, that's precisely how Antipope John Paul II understood this passage of Vatican II in his December 5, 1996 homily. Speaking of prayer with non-Catholics, he stated, quote, "When we pray together, we do so with the longing that there may be one visible Church of God, a Church truly universal and sent forth to the whole world," end quote. John Paul II endorses joint prayer with representatives of non-Catholic religions. That is to teach the heresy that it's good to participate in non-Catholic worship. He did that many times. He also quotes Vatican II to teach that the Church is not yet truly visible until unity is achieved with non-Catholics. That's heretical. So Trenthorn begins his fallacious response by misrepresenting our position on visibility while ignoring that it's his Vatican II sect which denies that the Church is truly visible. Now that we've disposed of his straw man, let's refute his main argument on this point. Horn argues that the promise regarding the throne of King David and his perpetual successors is only conditional. He thinks his point is proven by Jeremiah 33:18, which states, quote, "And of the priests and Levites there shall not perish a man from before my face to offer holocausts and to burn sacrifices and to slay offerings every day," end quote. Horn doesn't see how this can apply to the Christian period. Thus, he concludes that the promise in the previous verse, that David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne, must be conditional. He is quite wrong. I wonder if Trenthorn bothered to do any research on this issue, such as by consulting commentaries, before he put out his error-filled and heretical video. For not only is it certain from various Old Testament passages that the promise about the throne of David is unconditional, but here is, for instance, St. Thomas Aquinas' commentary on Jeremiah 33:17-18. St. Thomas directly contradicts Trenthorn and agrees with us. He states, quote, "First, he, the Lord, promises the restoration of the kingdom, second of the priesthood, saying, And of the priests and Levites there shall not perish a man, Jeremiah 33:18. Concerning the former, that is the restoration of the kingdom, Jeremiah 33:17, there are 3 points. First, he the Lord indicates the appropriateness of the time of the restoration, which was fulfilled in Christ. Second, the nature of the kingdom with regard to the nobility of its ruler, Christ, who is justice itself. Third, he speaks of the duration of the kingdom, for thus says the Lord, there shall not perish from David a man, Christ and his kingdom. His power is an everlasting power, which shall not be taken away, and his is a kingdom which shall not be destroyed, end quote. As we can see, St. Thomas understands Jeremiah 33:17 to be an unconditional and everlasting promise about the throne of David and its successors, which found its fulfillment in Jesus Christ after the long vacancy. That's directly contrary to what Trenhorn argued, namely that Jeremiah 33:17 was merely a conditional promise limited to Jeremiah's time period.
The teachings that the church will always have a visible existence are not like the passage in Jeremiah 33:17, which is a conditional prophecy. It's not an absolute promise. This shows that these prophecies in Jeremiah were limited in their scope.
No, St. Thomas agrees with us. Concerning Jeremiah 33:18, the verse Horn didn't think could apply to the Christian period, St. Thomas understands that verse about the Christian church whose members offer spiritual sacrifices. That verse does not contradict the clearly unconditional promise made about the throne of David in Jeremiah 33:17. The fact that Jeremiah 33's prophecy about the throne of David is unconditional is also proven just a few verses later in Jeremiah 33:20-21. Quote, "Thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night will not come at their appointed time, then also my covenant with David my servant may be broken, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne," end quote. Here God clearly indicates that just as you cannot alter the day and the night, God's promise to David about having a successor on his throne cannot be broken. Thus, it's clearly an unconditional promise, directly contrary to Trenhorn's blatant error. St. Thomas also comments on this passage, Jeremiah 33:20-21, and states, quote, "Here is given the confirmation of the promise, first from the duration of created things. If my covenant with the day can be broken, it is as though he, God, were saying, it cannot be broken all the way to the end of the world. I shall establish his seed forever and his throne as the days of heaven," end quote. So again, St. Thomas understands the promise about the throne in Jeremiah 33 to be unconditional, perpetual, and fulfilled in Christ, just as we said. But here's what the heretic Trenhorn tried to get people to believe, simply in another failed attempt to defend the apostate antipopes.
The teachings that the church will always have a visible existence are not like the passage in Jeremiah 33:17, which is a conditional prophecy. It's not an absolute promise. This shows that these prophecies in Jeremiah were limited in their scope.
As we've proven, he's wrong and misleading people again. In fact, his argument is so poor that it's not only refuted by the words of Jeremiah 33, as we've shown, by commentaries such as from St. Thomas, but we don't even need to quote Jeremiah chapter 33 to prove the point about the throne of David and its applicability to a long vacancy of the throne of St. Peter in our day. Jeremiah 33:17 is indeed a powerful verse to demonstrate our point, yes, that's why we cite it, but we can prove the same point from other verses without even citing Jeremiah chapter 33. Did Trenhorn even think about that before he put out his error-filled video? The perpetuity of the throne of David and the promise about perpetual successors on it is found elsewhere in the Bible, such as in Psalm 89 or Psalm 88 in some versions. It states, quote, "I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. I will not lie to David, his offspring shall endure forever, his throne as long as the sun before me," end quote. As we can see, it's certain that the promise about the perpetuity of the throne of David and successors on it was unconditional. To say otherwise, as Trenhorn argues in his error-filled video, is to contradict Scripture. What was conditional was the plight and prosperity of various kings. Yes, that was conditional and based upon obedience, and that is indicated in various passages. In fact, disobedience is the reason that God left the throne of David vacant for so long before Christ's first coming. It's also why he has left the chair of St. Peter vacant for decades prior to Christ's second coming. So although the plight, prosperity, and frequency of the kings was conditional and based upon obedience, the hard fact that the throne of David would exist forever and would have a perpetual succession on it was unconditional. St. Robert Bellarmine teaches the same in his commentary on this psalm. He also teaches that the promise was fulfilled in Christ after the long vacancy. Quote, "He, God, answers an objection that may be made and says that if the sons of David should provoke the anger of the Lord by their evil doings, that he will punish the delinquents, but that it will not cause him to break his promise, a promise that he made upon oath. He, God, assigns a reason for his wishing to fulfill the promise he made of establishing David's kingdom. even though his children should not observe his commandments. And the reason is because he swore thereto, promised firmly without the power of retracting, "Once I have sworn by my holiness, I have irrevocably and solely sworn by my holiness." The word "once" implies immutability, for one oath of God is equivalent to innumerable oaths of others, end quote. So there you go. The promise about the throne of David and perpetual successors on it was unconditional, yet God left that throne vacant for over 500 years after the death of King Zedekiah, starting with the Babylonian captivity. This proves, no matter how much Vatican II heretics want to whine or cry about it, that the Sede Vacantis position does not contradict Vatican I's teaching on the perpetuity of the papal office. In fact, we are convinced that one reason God allowed the long vacancy of the throne of David, a throne to which he specifically attached the promise of perpetuity, was precisely because it would establish a precedent for the long vacancy of the chair of Peter that we are living through prior to his second coming. And both vacancies, as we cover in our video, were caused by a Babylonian captivity. The Babylonian captivity in our day consists in a takeover of the church's physical structures by the end times Vatican II counterchurch, the Whore of Babylon. See our video, "Did the Bible Predict 70 Years Without a Pope?" A long vacancy of the throne of David or the throne of Peter does not contradict promises of perpetual succession in the office, precisely because, as Cardinal Frenzlin rightly noted, perpetuity is found in the office, not in the man. The office remains perpetual even when it's vacant because its promises and privileges are upheld by God's power and permanence. The individual office holders, for example, the individual popes throughout history, live and die, yet the office remains because God attaches his power and promise to it permanently. Even when the office is empty, it continues to be the principle of unity in the rule by which true Catholics measure their conduct and their lives, via its official teaching throughout the ages. And that's true now for the remnant church during the Great Apostasy. Since Trenhorn's argument on this matter of the throne of David and a long vacancy of the chair of St. Peter was so poor and lacking in evidence, as we've shown, he tried to combine it with a general argument concerning the need to have jurisdictional bishops. However, he cited nothing to specifically prove his claims on that matter either. However, since that's a somewhat different issue, we will perhaps cover that in a different video. So we've clearly refuted in detail another false argument made by Trenhorn, this one about the throne of David and the issue of perpetual succession of the papal office. But just think about how insidious it is for Trenhorn to try to dismiss a valid and powerful point based on scripture by attempting to confuse people with his quick and sloppy misunderstanding of one verse, Jeremiah 33:18. He misuses that one verse while he ignores or is just flat out ignorant of all the other proof that the promise made about David's throne was unconditional and therefore clearly serves as a powerful precedent for a long vacancy of the chair of St. Peter. It's very bad. But the devil uses heretics like that to keep people in the Vatican II counterchurch, the Whore of Babylon, which leads them to heresy and to hell. People need to embrace the traditional Catholic faith, as our material explains. That's all for this video.